it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by CJ Vogel of On Texas Football. This state of the program brought to you by Adam Lowy. Each and every week, we try to tackle the big topics of the week on state of the program. CJ, let's start with what I think is really the biggest news of the week, and that's been Texas in the portal. They lose Dominic Williams last week, but they gain Javion Cole. You reported also Texas still active in the portal with a potential player. Let's talk a little bit about Johnny Bowens, the defensive lineman out of Converse Judson, who spent his freshman year at Oregon, had been recruited by Texas and Texas A&M, among others, but signed with Oregon. He'll be a redshirt freshman wherever you go. Let's give people a quick update on that first, because I actually think that's had some breaking news. You talked to him or texted with him late yesterday. Give people some updates there, and then we'll talk about the portal as a whole in a second.
Yeah, I think Texas is still certainly very interested in, you know, active in the portal market, specifically on the defensive tackle front. And it makes sense. You don't need a top line guy. It would be nice, obviously. But you're looking at guys that you can certainly mold and develop into being multi-year contributors down the road. You know, we've talked about it on previous shows, Bobby, but you look at who Texas has this year in their room and look at what that room might look like in 2025, and it's a complete flip around. You know, Vernon Broughton, Alfred Collins, Tia Savea, Bill Norton, you all expect to depart after a season in 2024. So what does that room look like now? Well, they're looking at adding a piece in which they know will be in that room for 2025 and beyond. And right now, Johnny Bowens told me last night, he has been in contact with Texas. He's hoping to get up to Austin for a visit. That's not too far of a drive. Let's, kind of go back down that road a little bit. Only about 45 to an hour away from Converse Judson, where he grew up and graduated. Of course, Texas was involved towards the back end of his recruitment. His final three was Texas, Texas A&M, and Oregon before he opted to pick his bags up and head up to Eugene. So that's someone Texas is familiar with. They've recruited him. And right now, it's just kind of waiting on the finalization of details before any kind of visit is set up and his arrival to campus is confirmed.
Yeah, here's the interesting thing for me. If you look at it the way I'm looking at it right now, Texas right now only has one true freshman defensive lineman on campus. That's Alex January. Now, Melvin Hills comes in, but he's considered a developmental prospect himself. He's raw and all this other stuff, right? And the year before that, they only have Sadir Mitchell. So in the freshman and redshirt freshman category, Texas only has two to three guys, and Mitchell hasn't always been, you know, all the way there, all 370 pounds of him. And so it's smart, in my opinion, as we look at portal recruiting as a whole, that you're trying to backfill some positions that you just didn't necessarily hit on out of the gate in regular recruiting, high school recruiting. And that's clearly what Steve Sarkisian's doing. Now, that being said, that's not all they're trying to do in the portal right now. You and I both know they're talking to other guys looking for potential fits from the portal at multiple positions. CJ, it felt like just two or three days ago we thought Texas might be done in the portal. But with three scholarships left, at least three scholarships left right now, I get the feeling that Texas is going to continue to be aggressive in the portal, at least as aggressive as they can be, up until some of these guys enroll in new schools in early June. You agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I think it's worth filling up to your 85 scholarship limit, because why wouldn't you? You know, that's a scholarship that you would waste, essentially. And when you look at Texas's roster, I think on the offensive side of the ball, we all agree they're pretty set there. They've addressed those needs earlier in the portal window. They're pretty you know, good looking, especially when Silas Bolden gets to town as well in June. Things are set there. Defensively, we know that they're active still in the defensive line category. The edges are probably set. Linebacker was a spot earlier in the offseason. I could probably consider them going out and at least taking a look at a couple guys. You don't need a top-end guy. You have them on campus at the moment, but you added Kendrick Blackshear for a reason. You need bodies in that room. With Samaje Burrell departing, you're looking at about six or seven guys. If an injury or two occurs, that room gets thin pretty quickly. So that's a spot I wouldn't be surprised to see Texas go at. They just added Javion Cole. I think cornerback is now in better hands as well as than what it was when Terrence Brooks and Austin Jordan departed. And, of course, safety was already addressed with Andrew Makuba. It makes sense to me that they fill up. Of course, punter's also a situation where you could see them go out and add a veteran grad transfer guy, one that may or may not count towards the scholarship count. We'll see exactly if they do pursue a punter or if not, of course. But filling up three more guys, it would make sense. Why would you not, you know, fill up that roster as much as you can?
Jerry does a good job of explaining this in some ways. It's like up the middle of the defense is where they might look, right? The defensive tackle position, they could still go get not only someone that's a depth piece, but someone that might be able to help right away. That's kind of what Steve Sarkisian has looked for typically. And then at linebacker, you mentioned not only Samaje Burrell, but Kendrick Blackshear transferring out after only being at Texas for a semester and figuring out that he wasn't part of the starting rotation. And then I also think that they could even look at more experience and depth at safety. They lost, what, six safeties? Is that right? In the portal? So they have very little depth at safety, even with the young defensive backs they brought in, Jordan Johnson-Rebell and Xavier Filsimi, as well as Andrew Makuba. I mean, so there's up the middle of the defense as well as punter. To your point, CJ, I think are the pieces of the puzzle that they can look like. We're going to talk a little bit about what Texas players are up to right now in a second. But first, I want to say thank you to our sponsor. Each and every state of the program is brought to you by our friend Adam Lowy, the Lowy Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, automobile accident, ATV even, call Adam and his firm if you think you might be due compensation or just want to check it out and see if it might be possible. Visit him at LowyLawFirm.com. That's LowyLawFirm.com. More than 20 years experience there in the Austin area as well as around the state of Texas. All right, Texas fans may or may not know this, but these players also have to go to the school too, CJ. A lot of them finished up their spring semester last week. The very last test for anybody was on Monday. So now a lot of these players are heading back home for a couple of weeks before they return to campus in early June. Gunnar Helms up in Colorado and Isaiah Bonds having a speed camp for his high school in Buford, Georgia. Your take on what the next 2 to 3 weeks really look like before the guys come back to town?
Yeah, it'll be pretty quiet around town. You know, down here in Austin, you won't see too many guys sticking around. Of course, it's probably one of the last opportunities that they'll have to spend time with family up in their hometowns. But that doesn't mean the work will be stopping. Of course, Quinn Ewers will be having throwing sessions up in the Dallas area. You can expect to see Parker Livingstone, the freshman from Lovejoy, and, of course, Jonte Cook attending those throwing sessions as well. Of course, Sadir Mitchell, I saw a video posted of him and his trainer earlier this week in which he's working on speed. He's working on agility. He's doing the ropes, the bands, trying to slim down a little bit because I know that was a bit of a concern with his weight earlier this offseason. Of course, we're all hoping and expecting Sadir to take that leap to which we saw him be recruited at a level that only, you know, some of the top programs in the school or in the country are kind of looking at right now. So for him to come back a little bit slimmer, that would be huge for the Longhorns. Will it happen? We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, summer conditioning is going to be big as well. But right now, these guys are going out, staying healthy, working on their body, rehabilitating, and also staying in the weight room. The Texas staff, I'm sure, deployed some sort of conditioning program, weightlifting exercises for the week. And, of course, these guys will be coming back June 1st and 3rd, getting ready for the summer conditioning camp to really start growing as the summer heats up.
Yep. The thought process is that first week of June, we talked to Silas Bolden. He's coming in the first week of June. We talked to Melvin Hills. He's coming in first week of June, getting settled in Austin. the idea there that I think is important for people to realize, once they come in June, they've got summer school back to back for both the June, July standpoint and June or July to August. Every single one of these guys are going to be taking summer school classes, trying to get ready to graduate, et cetera, get more hours underneath them so they don't have to take such a heavy course load in the fall. And so it'll be interesting as Texas sees those new guys show up. It's interesting to hear about Quinn Ewers and those guys doing that up in the Dallas area as well. All right, CJ, the next piece I wanted to talk to you about is recruiting. Look, you've been out in Central Texas. You're going up to Dallas later this week to visit with some players. Jerry's been across the Southeast. I mean, he's making the trek of a lifetime. I don't know how many miles he's putting on his car. My point, though, on this for you is this. It all seems like Texas is trying to push towards these middle two weekends in June for regular recruiting. Y'all mentioned two guys, Dorian Brew and another defensive back out of Buford, Georgia, same high school as Isaiah Bond, setting up a visit for mid-June. It looks like that's going to be the push for Steve Sarkisian and his guys right now. Would you agree with that for this recruiting class?
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the June 14th weekend, and right now I have 17 names on that list, and then you go the weekend after, and you have 22. Well, those 39 account for 39 of the 44 that you'll have for the entire month of June coming in for official visits. It's certainly looking very impressive for not only 14th through 16th, but the 21st through 23rd. And I think it's a little bit by design. Texas has pushed for those last two weekends to get the final look from a lot of prospects since Sarkisian's arrived. How have other schools kind of adapted to that? Because they know how well Texas recruits in the month of June. Well, Texas A&M is getting a bunch of guys in on June 8th. Texas is after a lot of those guys, and they're going to be able to jump in very late afterwards for that final visit, because we know that July is a quiet period, and then you start getting guys on campus again towards the beginning of the season in August. Well, for that whole month, they're going to be thinking about that final visit and Texas, the city of Austin, and the staff. I think it's been very impressive. It's been very efficient for the Longhorn staff as well, because we've seen June and July be very successful months in terms of building the class each cycle. And I see that being the case again. I know that there are a number of guys that we've mentioned as possible next commit candidates all coming in June as well. It wouldn't be surprising to see them go on quite a run towards that back half of June as well.
So it's interesting. So let's talk about that a little bit, because as you look at the macro perspective of it, two primary competitors for Texas, there's really three nowadays. There's A&M, their big weekend, you said June 8th. There's OU, and I think LSU is in that category to a degree as well. Those are the three schools that Texas fights with the most in the state of Texas. Yes, Ohio State or Georgia will come in. Clemson might try, Alabama, et cetera. But where are those three programs sitting as far as recruiting is concerning right now in the state of Texas with some of the guys that Texas is looking at?
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'll continue to see Texas and Texas A&M battle for a lot of guys in the trenches. That's going to be the case. Of course, Mike Elko, first year at A&M, going to need to have a splash start to his tenure in A&M just to get that program running, just to get some momentum going, because it did not end too great. Of course, they had some big recruiting classes. They all kind of dissipated as the years went on. But with this year specifically, they just had a big win out of Bridgeland. Oklahoma had a big win out of Bridgeland with Ryan Foji. Jonte Newman ended up at Texas A&M. But you look at the big guys, Lamont Rogers, Michael Fasusi, and now Jackson Christian is going to be a head-to-head as well. The trenches are going to be decided between Texas and Texas A&M this year. Oklahoma's kind of filling up guys on the out-of-state cycle as well. But LSU, that's going to be an interesting one, because you start looking around. Cade Phillips is down to the three, A&M, Texas, and LSU. Of course, DeCorian Moore is the big name. But Zion Williams out of Lufkin, another name in which Texas not very active right now in the state for defensive linemen. He's probably the biggest guy that Texas is pursuing on the defensive line at the moment. LSU is looking to remain in contact with him with that Bo Davis connection. That's going to be an interesting one. LSU more so this year than in years past, kind of coming up as a thorn in the side of Texas at the moment in recruiting. And, of course, you'll never have to completely not have – or I guess you'll continue to have to worry about Oklahoma moving forward. But right now, I think at least in the terms of the skill positions, Texas and LSU kind of shaping up to be a bigger battle there.
You don't hear Arkansas, Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU that much with guys that Texas is also recruiting. Are there any other schools that you're hearing a lot of in that regard?
No, I think right now you're seeing a bit of a separation. Of course, Texas is after a lot of out-of-state guys in the trenches. You look at John Mills, Nick Brooks, Josiah Sharma, Kevin Wynn, a lot of these defensive line guys, Damian Shanklin. I mean, a lot of them are out of state, you know, so it makes sense that you're not necessarily battling with the same regional Big 12 guys that you've seen in years past. And, of course, there will be battles in the DFW area. But as we've seen since Sarkisian's arrival, that DFW area for the top talent, Texas has done fairly well. You know, Jonte Cook, Anthony Hill, Colin Simmons, three right there are the big headliners. And, of course, DeCorian Moore next up. We'll see, of course, what happens with that battle. But for the most part, you're seeing Texas battle with Ohio State, USC out west, of course, Alabama and Georgia whenever they head down into the southeast. Right now, whenever they continue those in-state battles, it's going to be with LSU, Oklahoma, and A&M more so than the Texas A&Ms, the Baylors, the TCUs, and Arkansas of the world at the moment.
All right, I've got a couple more recruiting questions for you. Let's switch gears a little bit. Riley Pettijohn. I mean, everybody knows a couple of guys that are on the cusp of the decision, we think. Riley Pettijohn might be one out of McKinney. He visited Texas over the weekend. James Simon, the running back out of Shreveport, might be on the cusp of a decision. There may be a couple of more. And I'm not talking about portal guys. You know, where do you think that's going to land? I mean, where is Texas sitting at right now with Riley Pettijohn, for example? James Simon, are there other guys that are in that category? Maybe John Mills out west? I mean, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think, you know, Texas sits right now at six commitments in the class. I think by the time that the month ends, you'll see a couple more added to that. And, of course, the end of June is when you'll really start seeing them go on that run again. I'll be seeing Riley Pettijohn on Friday for his spring game, Friday evenings. We'll get another update there. But the last time we saw him was at the spring game just over 2 weeks ago. And it certainly felt like Texas was in that pole position for the 10-7-7 linebacker out of McKinney, Texas. That's his 100-meter speed, by the way. Really, really fast, lightning quick for a guy that's going to carry 215 this fall. So Texas in a good spot there. I think Texas is in another good spot. They're battling Jackson Texas A&M for Jackson Christian out of Port Neches Groves at the moment. Of course, he made the two-day trip to and from Texas over a three-day span earlier this spring. He's one to keep a close eye on. Kelshawn Johnson out of Hitchcock skipped his district track meet to come watch and visit Texas during their spring game April 20th. Another name to keep an eye on. Of course, Jerry reported that Texas is now making a couple moves on Jamie French. No longer is Ohio State perceived to be the leader there. In fact, Texas jumped into his top three following his visit in April. And it now looks like Chris Jackson, Steve Sarkisian, and the Texas staff have done enough to make things very interesting at the top for Jamie French, the five-star receiver out of Mannorin, Florida. So things are certainly moving in a really positive direction at the moment. You look at the offensive side of the ball, and I really like, you know, the wide receivers. You know, of course, Jamie French, Kelshawn Johnson, just mentioned them, but Khalik Lockett. It's going to be a Texas and Texas A&M battle there. LSU kind of on the outside. But, of course, DeCorian Moore, LSU. James Simon, you mentioned him earlier. I think Texas is the top dog for him, and I think that's a bit evidenced by Jordan Davison out of Modern Day, not including the Longhorns in his top four. Tashard Choice went by last Tuesday to see James Simon, and of course, he was on campus for the spring game as well. To me, that one is trending towards the Longhorns pretty heavily. He would be that second back in the running back class with Ricky Stewart, and I think the Longhorns would be very happy with that group.
Yeah, I think so too, and I'm just looking at it, and it feels to me, and this is where I think I'm coming out, Sark is doing his normal thing. And what that means is he's kind of setting things up, and then it'll either be an avalanche or it'll be a slow trickle, but he's going to continue to recruit the same way he has. And that's by going out right now as guys are on the road, evaluating every single player, whether it's a quarterback or a wide receiver or a DB or whoever. And then they're going to try to make up their minds in June and really go hard on those guys. And even if they don't get a commitment from them, they'll stick with them. And so I think that's interesting and something that we need to really take away from this situation right now. It's not going to be, even if they, you said they'll end up maybe at 8. If they're at 6 right now, a couple more come on in the month of May, till the end of May. We got about 20 days left. You know, it's not unheard of for Texas to probably be at 15 by the end of June. But even if they're not, I don't think Sark's going to be, I don't think he's going to show any kind of worry or react prematurely. So it's one of those things. It's interesting because we're setting up for recruiting, really the heart of recruiting over the next couple of weeks, the second and third weekend of June. Right now, setting that up. All right, CJ, that's going to do it. Johnny Bowens, the defensive lineman out of the portal. We're also waiting to see if there are any other defensive linemen or other players in the portal that Texas goes after. Players are off for a couple of weeks, headed home, getting some work done before they come back in early June. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of State of the Program. For CJ Vogel, I'm Bobby Burton. Thanks again to our friend Adam Lowy of the Lowy Law Firm. Please visit him if you've been injured in a car wreck, truck wreck, or what have you. Again, LowyLawFirm.com. For CJ, I'm Bobby. That's been State of the Program. Hook 'em.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.